Spiritual Wars, Part 6. At least I think it's 6. I've lost track. On Saturday, October 22nd, 1983, a young United States Marine stationed in Beirut, Lebanon, was discussing life and death and other things with his chaplain. Before the end of their conversation was over, the chaplain pastor urged this young Marine he needed to have a relationship with Jesus. And so before their conversation was over, the young Marine gave his life to Jesus. That was October 22nd, 1983. Some of you will remember this because you're my age. On Sunday morning, the very next day, 1983, two truck bombs struck that building that was housing those American Marines and some Navy personnel and some other French military men, and 241 U.S. servicemen died, including the 18-year-old boy that had given his life to Jesus the night before. I'm going to refer back to that in a few minutes. 2 months ago, in February of this year, some of you saw this on the news or maybe online, 11 youth with a mission, we call that YWAM, 11 youth with a mission missionaries were killed in a bus accident in Tanzania. Darlene Cunningham of YWAM says this, and I quote, "We have not seen a tragedy of this magnitude in our history. These deaths created a massive vacuum for youth with a mission," end quote. These were missionary kids serving the Lord. November 1994, in a freak accident on a Milwaukee expressway, a minivan carrying a Chicago family burst into flames, killing the children and critically injuring the parents and another child. And this article comes out of the Chicago Tribune. I pulled it offline this week. And I quote, "The accident occurred when the minivan driven by Dwayne Scott Willis, a pastor at Southside Church, ran over a piece of steel that apparently had fallen off a truck. The 18-inch steel bracket, which holds mud flaps on a semi-truck, punctured the van's gas tank. Sparks ignited the leaking gas. There was an explosion, and within seconds, the 1994 Chrysler Voyager minivan burst into flames," according to the Milwaukee County Sheriff Sergeant. "Trapped in the van and killed in the fire were Peter Willis, 6 weeks old, Elizabeth Willis, 3 years old, Hank Willis, 7 years old, Sam Willis, 9 years old, and Joe Willis, 11 years old. This is just a tiny, tiny, tiny sampling of the tragedies that happen in our world to people every day. And yes, some of those are Christian people. If you recall, I've referred to John 10:10 several times during this spiritual war series. If you recall the story, Jesus is laying this story out, John chapter 10. He's talking about himself being the shepherd, taking care of the sheep. He's talking about the fold where the sheep are protected. He's talking about himself being the door getting into the fold. And in that conversation, he's also talking about an enemy, the thief, who tries to come into the fold, who tries to mess with the sheep. And in John 10 and 10, Jesus said this about the enemy, Satan: the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And so I've mentioned this several times to bring to us an awareness that the enemy is real. The thief, as Jesus described in this sheepfold scenario, won't come in through the door. He'll try to come in over the edge. And Jesus reminds us he's came specifically to kill and to steal and to destroy. I know this question has been asked 10,000 times and maybe 10 million times. I don't know. Why do bad things happen to good people? Have you heard it before? You've used it. Maybe I've used it. The question has been asked in our midst, why did my mom die? I did a funeral here for yesterday for a lady that was 60. That's way younger than I am. And they weren't necessarily asking that question yesterday, but the question has been asked. And it's even taken a step further. Why did God let my mom die? Why did my dad die? Why did God let my dad die? Why did I get cancer? Why did my child get cancer? Why did God let my child get cancer? And 10,000 more questions just like it. Why did my marriage fail? Why did God let my marriage fail? Why did my loved one commit suicide? 2 weeks I'm going to talk about suicide. Why did God let my loved one commit suicide? We ask these questions. And every one of these questions we have directed to God, because there's no other authority. And even if we're an atheist, that's where our questions go. Why, God, did you let this happen? So often we are traumatized by these tragedies, and we want to call upon God for answers, and often we find ourselves blaming God for the tragedy. You see, friends, the spiritual battle that I've been talking about for the last couple of months is raging around us, and it's real. It's very real. Let me refer, if you got your Bibles, to John 20. If you got your Bibles, turn to John 20. We'll have it on the big screen, but I'd like to encourage you to follow along in the scriptures. I'm reading from the New King James Version today, so yours, if you have a different translation, it might be a little different, but it's good to follow along from the scriptures anyway. John 20, the setting is the very day that Jesus rose from the dead. We were reminded of that last week. This is the same day. And you will remember that Mary Magdalene and others went to the tomb, and Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, spoke to Mary, and she went back to the disciples and she said, he's alive. But you'll also remember what the Bible says, but they didn't believe it. This is part of the story later in the day. John chapter 20, I'm picking it up at 19. Here's what it says. Then the same day at evening, that means the same day that he had raised from the dead, and Mary had Magdala had already told him he's alive, they didn't believe it. The same day, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, you know the story, wasn't there when Jesus encountered these disciples on the night of his resurrection. And so we pick it up in 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. But apparently he joined them again shortly thereafter, because the gospel writer John says, "The other disciples therefore said to him," apparently when he came back into their midst, "they said to him, we have seen the Lord." They didn't believe it that morning when Mary said it, but now they've seen him, now they believe it. And they pass on to Thomas, "We have seen him." So he, that's Thomas, said to them, that's the other disciples, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now we call him Doubting Thomas for this little display or lack of faith. But I want us to think about that for a minute. Thomas is simply saying to the disciples that day, "Unless I can put my hand into the side of the master where the sword, where the spear pierced it, unless I see that and I can put my hand there, I'm not going to believe." He's saying to them, "I need some proof." I know what you're saying, but I need some proof of this. And I submit to you, if you will think deeply for a moment, we have all been there. "God, you didn't answer my prayers. My child is still sick. My wife still died." I submit when we think about that for a moment, we've all been there. Needing some proof that you even care. Needing some proof that you even exist. The Bible says after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was there. And Jesus came, the doors were shut, so he was just there. Remember, this is the resurrected Christ. He doesn't need the benefit of the door. It was shut. He was still just there. He stood in the midst and he said, "Peace to you." And then he addressed Thomas. He said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side." And Jesus said to him, and he says to us, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Jesus comes to him. He knew he doubted. He knew he needed proof. And Jesus comes to him and said, "Don't be unbelieving." And he says it to us today. Don't be unbelieving, people of God. when it didn't turn out just the way you wanted it to, don't be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed." And then Jesus said this. Listen to me now, friends. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who don't understand everything, but I'm going to trust him anyway. Blessed are those who have not seen their prayers get answered, but I'm going to believe him anyway. That's what he's saying to us. Thomas, blessed because you've seen me. But he says to the rest of us, blessed are those who have not seen the evidence and yet have believed. Friends, we don't always understand why tragedies happen. I've given you just a little sampling. And matter of fact, I have concluded sometimes there are no earthly answers. Why do some people commit suicide? Why did that pastor lose 5 children? In a moment, 5 children of his. This is a pastor. Why 11 missionary children, young people, not children, young people, gone in one accident? Why the horrors of Israel back in October? The senseless slaughter and torturing and maiming and burning. Why, we ask ourselves, why did this stuff happen? Let me refer back to that story I started with about the 18-year-old boy. I say 18-year-old boy now. I suppose if you're 17, 18 here and you think, "Well, I ain't no boy, Jim." Well, forgive me for that. I'm just old and I'm just thinking 18-year-olds are still boys. We could blame God. We could be mad at God. And those of you that remember the story, I remember the story like it was last summer. 241 servicemen dead, just like that. I didn't know about the 18-year-old boy till years later. And we could blame God for that. We could be the parents, and I don't know the parents, and I'm not trying to put words in their mouths, and we could say, "Why, God, did you allow my 18-year-old to die?" Or knowing that the night before he gave his life to Christ, we could rejoice with the angels in heaven that the boy, when he closed his eyes in death, when that bomb took down the building, he went home to be with Jesus. We could do either one. We could blame, or we could rejoice that God sees a bigger picture than we do, and he's at work in these tragedies. I'm not saying he caused them. I'm saying he's at work in them. And I have seen God bring good from tragedy over and over and over. Here lies the dilemma, friends. I got to bring this all together. I haven't got to the point yet. Here lies the dilemma of the spiritual battle. When tragedies happen, and they happen all the time, when tragedies happen and we stay mad at God, or sometimes we even blame God. "Why did you take my mom? Why did you let my dad die? Why has my child got cancer? We oftentimes blame God, and when we do, and we stay there, we stay in that arena. I'm blaming God, and some, I know these people personally, some have said, if that's how you are, God, if you're going to let my child die, if you're going to take my wife, I'm not having nothing to do with you. I've seen them and I've heard it. And if that's where we stay, that's exactly what the devil wants. Are you hearing me today? If that's where I'm going to stay, God, I don't want nothing to do with you because you let my wife die, you let my dad die, you let my child get leukemia, whatever. If that's where we stay, that's exactly what the devil wants of you and I. Mad at God, I'm not having nothing to do with you. That's exactly what the enemy wants. In Job chapter 1, there's, I can, you say, Jim, I don't buy it. I can prove it to you. Job chapter 1, God is having this conversation with Satan. It just seems bizarre, the whole scenario, but it's in the scriptures. And so Satan is talking to God, and God is saying, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan comes back with this real clever approach. Stretch out your hand, God, and take everything he owns, and he's going to curse you to your face. That's the approach of the enemy. Take away some of his belongings, or in a few later verses, take away his health, and he's going to curse you. He's going to abandon you. He's going to be done with you. And friends, when we approach these tragedies, and I assure you, tragedies will happen. They've been happening since the Garden of Eden in the human race. And we blame God, and we stay mad at God, or we say, I'm done with you, and abandon God. I would ask us, who's the one still suffering when that's my approach? Who's the one still hurting? Don't want anything to do with God because some tragedy happened? Shake my fist at God, blame him? That's exactly what the devil wants. That's the spiritual war I'm talking about. The enemy wants us to be mad at God. The enemy wants to come into the fold over the outside. He ain't going to come in the door. He wants to come in the outside. And he came for one reason to kill, or three reasons actually, to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus said. And when we say to God, because a tragedy happened in my life, God, I don't need you. If that's how you are, then the devil laughs with glee. He's got us right where he wants us to be, angry and saying, I don't need you, God, if that's where you are. If that's the way you respond to my prayers, I don't need you. That's exactly where the devil wants us. Now, please hear me on this, friends. I'm not saying there's not tragedies. There's endless tragedies. And please hear me. I'm not saying we shouldn't grieve and mourn and hurt when tragedies happen. We do. The lady I did a funeral for yesterday was only 60. She has several children. They were all here. And I watched her 40-year-old son weep. This is his mother. Wept when he walked into the foyer, wept when he came up to the urn, wept afterwards, and I watched him take that urn and kneel down on the ground and lay it in the hole and wept. This was his mother. She was only 60. I'm not saying we shouldn't mourn. I'm not saying there's not a time for mourning. I'm not saying there aren't tragedies. There are. But I am saying this. When we are blaming God for these things and then determine, because you took my dad, you took my mom, you took my brother, you took my child. When we get to that point of angry towards God and saying, I'm not following you if that's how you respond to my prayers. If we get to that point, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what the devil wants of us. Now back to the verse. Jesus said to Thomas, said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed. You see, friends, it's at those times that we do not understand the what's and the why's. We don't understand that. That is when we need Jesus the most. Are you hearing me this morning? That is when we need Jesus the most. Thomas didn't understand why he was dead. Thomas didn't understand. He saw him on the cross. He saw the nails in his wrist. That's why he said, unless I put my finger where the nail was, I won't believe. Thomas was simply saying, I need some proof. I need some proof here. I need some proof that you care. And if you're honest with yourselves, and I have to be too, we have been there. God, do you care about my circumstances? Because I ain't seeing no proof here. And so my caution is this morning to us, friends, in this spiritual war that rages on around us, please do not run away from God when tragedies occur. Run to Him. Please do not blame God and say, if that's all the better you're going to answer my prayers to let my child die, to take my mom from me, or whatever else. Please don't get to that point of saying, it's all your fault, God, and I'm not having anything to do with you. That's when we need to run to Him and trust in Him. I'm going to close with this. I wish Dale's not here. Is he, Linda Dale, around here somewhere? He's around. I was going to get his permission, but I didn't. But he openly shared this last week, so let me share just a little. Dale Lehigh shared a testimony last Sunday night at Celebrate Recovery. And in his testimony, the trauma, tragedy that he shared was very hard, very hurtful to him as a boy. There he is. There's my brother. And Dale said to us, he said he was mad at God. Fist pounding mad at God. And in his anger, Dale said, I don't want nothing to do with you. If you're going to let this happen to me. And in his testimony, Dale shared that his anger led to some addiction problems and other life troubles. But there came a time in Dale's life, and you know Dale, he's standing here in the back of our sanctuary. There came a time in Dale's life, and he shared this last Sunday, when he cried out to God. He cried out to God. The pain was great. The trauma was real. And he cried out to God, and he gave his life to Christ. Take over, God. Take over my life. I need you. And here's my point of Dale's testimony. At the end of the testimony, Dale said, I look back on my life and I wonder, in all of my life, would I change anything? And he concludes that he would not change anything. Is that what you said, brother? He concludes he would not change anything because it was through the tragedies of life, it was through the pain and the ugliness and the hurt that he cried out to Jesus and was born again and changed and healed and forgiven. He didn't understand that as a little boy. We don't understand some of these tragedies that we've been through and these simple little examples that I give. But the words of Jesus come back to us as they came to Thomas that night. Blessed are those who have not seen the evidence and still have believed. That's what Jesus says to us. And that's the way he challenges us. Blessed are you when you've been through the gutters of life, when you've been through the trauma, when you've been through the tragedy, when you've lost your mother, you've lost your wife, you've lost your son or daughter. Blessed are you when you keep trusting him when the devil says, I told you, you can't believe him. Blessed are you when you keep believing and keep trusting in the tragedies of life. And so, friends, do not allow the enemy to get in your head when he whispers, see, I told you, you can't trust him. Do not allow the enemy to push you to the point where Thomas got, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. Do not allow the enemy to let you get there. But remember the words of Jesus when he said to Thomas, because you've seen me, Thomas, blessed are you. But Jesus said, I say, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Remember those words when you're going through the trial, the tragedy, the trauma, the ugliness. Remember what Jesus said and keep believing and keep trusting. Ladies, let's get ready to sing. Now, I want to ask you to consider this morning two questions as I close. Have you surrendered completely to Jesus? You say, Jim, I don't even know. Have you surrendered everything? You're starting with your life, your will, your agenda, your tragedies. Have you surrendered it all to Jesus? Have you said, Father, forgive me, I have sinned. I need Christ. I know he died for me. Come into my life and take over. Take over everything. Because if you've never gotten there, friends, that's where you must start. And then the follow-up question for us, friends, is will you keep trusting him when tragedy happens? Remember those words of Jesus to Thomas. Never forget those words. Blessed are those who have not seen. I've not understood it all, but I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust. I'm going to follow Jesus. Never forget those words in the tragedy and the hurts of life. Amen? Sometimes our lives are in the sunshine on the mountaintop, and sometimes they're in the valley. Sometimes they're in the valley of pain. And I love this song because it says God keeps leading his children along. Sometimes it is on the mountaintop, and sometimes it ain't. And so, friends, I just want to encourage you today in the spiritual realm of things, in the spiritual war, don't let the enemy keep speaking to your minds and say, see, I told you you can't trust him. Trust him completely. Surrender to him fully and follow Jesus. If you're not sure even about all that, you come see us. Come see me today. Come send us a text or a messenger or an email. Nothing matters more than your surrendering completely to Jesus, brothers and sisters. Nothing. Nothing matters more than your surrendering completely to Jesus, even when life hasn't gone well. Blessed are those who believe but have not seen. Keep trusting and keep believing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Thank you for the challenge of Jesus to Thomas that is a challenge to all of us. No, we haven't seen the resurrected Christ with our own eyes. We haven't got a chance to put our finger in the nail prints of his hands, but we believe. Help us to keep trusting you, O God. Help us to surrender everything to you, even the tragedies of our life, and help us to follow Jesus faithfully. Even when we're mad, we're confused, we don't understand, we don't have the answers. We don't know why, we don't know why, we don't know why. Father, help us by your Spirit to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, first and foremost, and follow even if and when tragedies happen. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Go with each one here today, Father. Help them to have a good week of following Jesus in spite of the things that are tearing at their heart, tearing at their mind. Help them, Father, to say convinced and assuredly, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to believe, even though I don't understand everything, I'm going to follow Jesus. And so we pray this in all things in Jesus' name. Amen.